Hello everyone, I'm Dr. Divya Kannan and welcome to my podcast where I talk about the challenges and personal struggles that we face with our own mental health. Now in today's episode, I break down the all too familiar self-critic and talk about the emotions that drive self-criticism and how we can soften our inner critic and have a healthier and more balanced relationship with our mind. So let me begin today's episode by talking a bit about what self-criticism looks like and what are some of the signs that we are being self-critical. So self-criticism is essentially the evaluative part of ourselves. It's the top dog voice in your head, the dominant, harsh, controlling voice. Now, if you've watched this Australian show called Wentworth, it's this fabulously complex show about a woman's prison and the dynamics within that prison. And in the show, there is this central character called the top dog, who is the leader of the prison and who dominates and controls all the prisoners. So your self-critical voice behaves like the top dog. Now, when you hear someone being self-critical, it often verbalizes itself in largely a negative way. So we may say to ourselves, "Oh, I sounded so stupid in that meeting today, I should really never speak up again." Or, "I'll never get into college because, you know, I'm so lazy or not good enough. I don't work hard enough." Or, "I can't even put my child to sleep. What a terrible parent I must be." And I remember first consciously saying things like this to myself when I submitted the first draft of my dissertation to my advisor. And I actually felt quite good about it, until my advisor, in her very gentle and helpful way, had me change most of it. And to me at that time, it was, you know, instant failure. I had failed her and I was never going to be a successful graduate student in that moment. I was the imposter. And, you know, it finally took about 6 total revisions of my dissertation for it to be completed. And the most ironic part here is that the topic of my dissertation was on self-criticism. And I was going through this parallel process of criticizing myself the whole time. So what are some of the signs that we are being self-critical? Now, one of the signs that I've noticed a lot is not being able to appreciate something that you've done well. You know, a lot of people, for instance, when they get promoted, they're barely happy for a second and they're already thinking about the next thing that they have to move on to or improve, or another project that they have to work on. So self-critics tend to see their achievements not so much as their own, but more so due to luck or some external factor. Now, secondly, I think blaming yourself for anything that doesn't go your way. "It's always my fault and I should have known better." That's the tape that gets really stuck in our heads and it plays on repeat for people that are self-critical. And another common trait in self-critics is, you know, passing up on opportunities that may be great for you, but you feel they're too risky because you might fail, and that vulnerability of facing the difficult emotions that come with failure is really terrifying for self-critics. So our self-critic is always disapproving of our behavior. It's doing a lot of judging of us, and self-criticism, you know, can often take on a very mean and hostile tone. And a lot of the time, we don't even know that we are being self-critical. So in therapy, when I sometimes hear my clients saying out loud statements about, you know, how awful they are, I stop them and I say, "Did you just hear that? You know, what you just said? Can you say it again? Can you say it slower? Can you say it meaner?" Just so that they actually hear it and they absorb it. And when they finally do hear it, you know, I get the silence where they finally get it that they are really being mean to themselves. They notice it for the first time. Because all this time they were doing it automatically, they didn't realize it. So I repeat this many times until they start to pay attention to the tone of their thoughts, right? Which is, how do your thoughts sound? How are you relating to yourself? That's really important to pay attention to start to notice the intensity and the tone of your self-criticism. Given how unpleasant the experience of criticizing oneself can be, this really begs a question: why do we engage in self-critical behavior? And I think one answer to this is socialization and what we've picked up from a young age about how to behave. We learn self-evaluation really early on. We learn it from our parents, our teachers, about what is good and bad behavior, what is acceptable and not acceptable. And we start to slowly shape our thoughts, our values, our actions based on what we think others will approve of. And why do we do this? Because what child does not want validation and acceptance and love? So we start to work to be a good student, to be talented at something, to be a good friend, to be a good partner later on in life, and so on. Because we want to excel and we want to avoid failure and disappointment at all costs. Now, there's some really interesting research on how your view of yourself can have a different purpose in certain cultures. There was this one study that I had come across that looked at North American students and Japanese students. And the two groups were told that, you know, one of your classmates, who was an average student, did better than you on a given task. And what they found was that the North American group found this feedback a little more difficult to believe, but the Japanese students very quickly agreed that yes, their classmate must have done better than them. And, you know, the premise here is that maybe in North America, being confident or at least showing that you're confident may be more valued, while in other cultures, in Japanese culture, it may be better to identify your weaknesses in a way and then work towards improving them. Now, all this to say that culture and values and the environment in which we're brought up can really impact how we relate to ourselves. So in other words, we may be more motivated or more biased to find out what is wrong or what is bad about us more than what is good about us. So what are the consequences for us for being overly self-critical? I want you all to visualize this for a few moments. Visualize that I am constantly yelling at you in your ear and saying a bunch of negative things about you. How great would your focus and energy be? What emotions do you think are likely to come up for you? How would you feel? So harsh self-criticism and constant self-talk in a negative way can make you feel less worthy. It can make you feel stuck in a rut. And if left to continue unchecked, it can really have serious consequences. You know, research tells us that self-criticism leads to depression, it leads to perfectionism, it leads to never learning to cope with failure or mistakes that we all need to learn along the way. And this in turn can really impact our expectations for others and for our relationships. So people that are high in self-criticism tend to start functioning in a way where not only do we not live up to our own standards, but nobody else lives up to our standards either. And what happens is we are then left chronically disappointed in our close relationships, whether personal or professional. So given the negative effects of self-criticism, does it then ever make sense to be self-critical? And the answer is yes. In many ways, a lot of our behavior and actions, you know, stem from what we call a defense. Now in psychology, defense, very simply put, is just the human need to protect oneself. It has its roots in evolution in a way and survival of the human species, right? So for our emotional survival, we have defenses that we use. Now to take a more extreme example, going back to Wentworth, the show that I was talking about, the top dog sometimes has to punish those that disobey the rules. And even if she doesn't believe in the punishment, she still has to carry out the punishment, because if she doesn't, she will be viewed as weak and might even be harmed by another prisoner because she's not very successfully then able to control the prison. So to protect herself and her own position in the prison, she has to behave in a very dominant way. It's that survival mechanism, that survival mind that kicks in. Now, the harsh critic that I talked about operates from a similar protective position. Our inner critic is usually scared that we will fail, and it is scared that if we fail, the experience will really crush and destroy us, and ultimately, we just won't be able to handle it. Now, let's try and wrap our minds around this a bit, because it's a little complex. Think about an athlete who continues to work out and continues to maybe work towards a tournament even with an injury, maybe even a severe injury, right? Why would that make sense to do? Probably because the inner critic of this athlete feels that if I really push myself against all odds, I won't experience failure and I will be protected from those softer, vulnerable feelings like helplessness that I can't train, or feeling like others will get ahead of me, or feeling defeated, not being able to win, not being able to participate, fear of missing out. So the critical part of us often wants to block these more vulnerable parts of us as a protective strategy. The critic essentially tries to distract us from feeling the emotional pain of failure, or, you know, the pain of not being able to meet a goal that we have set out for ourselves. So how do we deal with the critic, especially when it thinks that it is protecting us? I think the first step is to really start with paying attention to that tone of your thinking. I cannot emphasize this enough. You know, pausing and asking yourself, did I talk to myself in an unkind way just now? Did I need to be so harsh on myself to get to my goal? Could there have been another way? I think this will help you to start identifying also the different aspects in your life where self-criticism appears to pop up the most and seems to be the most problematic. The next thing I think is really reassuring that critic. Now remember, the critic has taken sole responsibility for your successes and failures in life. So there's also, though, a part of you that isn't as critical, that's more balanced, that's a healthier side of you. And it's there somewhere, though it feels really small because the critic by nature, as we know, is dominant. But it is that small part of you that has to start speaking up, and that part of you has to reassure the critic that you'll be okay even if you fail. So telling the critic, hey, I know you're scared of failing, I'm scared too, but can we try doing this together rather than be at odds? So really trying to address the failure and the fear directly, because fear and shame and guilt is often what underlies that harsh critical voice. So showing compassion and understanding towards your critic, that you can actually relate to that fear of failure, it really helps to silence the critic for some time, and it can help to soften the tough guy part of the critic. And then when we don't have the harshness and the loathing talking at us nonstop, it actually helps us feel more balanced, lighter, a bit more peaceful, less distracted, and we actually have a better chance at achieving our goals because we can focus on them and be more productive and efficient without that constant self-chatter in our heads. So as we get to the end of today's episode, I think the takeaways are, you know, paying attention to the tone of your thinking and looking at how you are relating to yourself. Shifting from a critic mindset to a coach mindset helps to maybe strike a bit of a balance between self-criticism, that harshness about it, and motivating ourselves to actually do better and improve when we need to. And when the critic speaks up, responding with understanding and compassion and empathy, rather than shutting down or agreeing with the critic's viewpoint. And when you reassure your critic, remember to always be firm as well, that you can handle failure if it does come your way, but you do need the critic to be silent at those times. Remember, you're more likely to fail with a very extreme, harsh, negative mental environment than with a more balanced, realistic, and positive one. So thank you folks for listening today. I'd love to hear your thoughts about this episode. So do connect with me on Instagram and share your thoughts with me. And I'd also love to hear about any other topics you might be interested in. I will be back very soon to talk more about topics like self-criticism and mental health. And I hope you all have a great rest of your day.